If you'd like to take your Bibles, please, and turn to the Gospel of Mark. Mark chapter 8. And I hope everyone got a green handout on the way in. I don't know whether we ran out, but there's a few verses outside Mark that we'll be using there as well this evening. Well, how's it been going tonight? Have you been enjoying this? Have you been blessed? I tell you what, I've been blessed in the front, hearing the voices from the back, and I was wondering how many there were at the back, but it sounded just great. I praise God that we were able to worship him like that, and thank you for leading us, David, and thank you for all the musicians. We're into Mark chapter 8, and we'll be starting at verse 34 when we get there. I've been doing a series called Great Themes of the Faith as we move through these hymn-sing evenings. And the title of this evening's message is a very simple, straightforward concept. It is Come, Follow. Let's ask God's help. Dear Heavenly Father, we do pray that as we come to your word, that you would open this out to us. I pray, Lord, whether we're saved or whether we're still yet needing to be saved, we would come, follow the Lord Jesus Christ, who to know is life eternal. And we pray it for his sake. Amen. I'm thinking of a particular hymn, but I'm not going to tell you what hymn it is right now. I want to tell you about the hymn writer. This lady was born in 1779. As a young person, she had it all, being very good with artwork and in writing popular verse. And so she became popular in her culture and in the world. However, by the time she was 30, her health was failing rapidly. She became bedridden and remained an invalid for the rest of her life, although she did live to the age of 82. Her sickness in her early years left her in despair, lots of anxieties and questions. When she was 33, a Swiss evangelist by the name of Dr. Milan visited her home and counseled with her. Dr. Milan impressed on her to come to Christ and to come just as she was. That was a turning point, and for the rest of her life, she celebrated that day as her spiritual birthday. She came to see her ill health as a blessing from the Lord, because it had turned her away from that direction she was going in terms of culture and being part of the world. And also her illness made her thoughtful of others in distress, and most of her hymns were written with those that had ill health and are those that were suffering in mind. She wrote, "He knows and he alone what it is day after day, hour after hour, to fight against bodily feelings of overpowering weakness, languor and exhaustion, to resolve not to yield to slothfulness, depression and instability, such as the body causes me to long indulge, but to rise every morning determined to take for my life verse, if a man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily and follow me." Now, considering the physical things that she suffered, that was a real commitment. The hymn that I'm thinking of appeared in the Invalid's Hymn Book, not one that I think is known by any of us, but the Invalid's Hymn Book, which contained 115 of her original works. The hymn that I'm thinking of has been talked about in this manner. Without question, this hymn has touched more hearts and influenced more people for Christ than any other song ever written. One author says that it has been used much evangelistically. Her own brother, a pastor, wrote, "In the course of a long ministry, I hope I have permitted to see some fruit from my labors, but I feel more has been done by a single hymn of my sister's than all those years of ministry." Moody said that no other hymn had done so much good or touched so many hearts. If this hymn writer was so greatly used of God in people's lives, we ought to examine those verses that was her life verse and what motivated her to keep going through many trials. Let's pick it up at Mark chapter 8 and verse 34. "When he had called the people to himself with his disciples also, he said to them, 'Whoever desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake and the gospel's will save it. For what will a profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul? For whoever is ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him the Son of Man will also be ashamed when he comes in the glory of his Father with the holy angels. Those verses mention two kinds of men. Charlotte Elliot, the hymn writer that I've been talking about, is one kind of person. You don't want to be the other kind. The first kind of man that Mark 8, 33 to 38 mentions is the man who follows Christ. And there are three descriptions in all of the man who follows Christ. This kind of man, first of all, has come to Christ. He has come to Christ. So let's put these verses in context where they occur in the scripture. It's something like 9 months before Jesus will die. The Lord has made an excursion to the north of Galilee. He's gone up to the north to the area of Caesarea Philippi. A week later, he'll be even further north, probably in the area of Mount Hermon, where he was transfigured before Peter, James, and John. So the incident we read occurs between Peter's confession of Christ and the transfiguration of Christ. And the Lord Jesus takes this opportunity to say what real discipleship involves. Mark 8 and verse 34, whoever desires to come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross and follow me. Jesus is speaking to those who desire to come after him. And a year earlier in his ministry, Jesus had invited people to come to him. We read in Matthew 11 and verse 28, Jesus saying, come unto me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you will find rest to your souls. These people had come to Christ and they had found rest in him. They were now following Jesus. They had found no rest in religion, but they had found rest in him. The advice given to Charlotte Elliot was good. You do not clean up your life first and then come to Christ. You come as you are, nothing to offer, nothing to contribute, simply throwing yourself upon the mercy of God. May I ask you tonight, have you come to Christ? Do you know him as your savior from sin? If you can answer yes, I'm glad for that. But there's two more descriptions of this kind of person to see that if you really qualify for following Christ. And if you cannot say yes, yes, I have come to Christ. Let me say this. You must come to Christ tonight. You do not know what tomorrow brings. You must come to him and you must see him as your savior from sin. You must realize that you are a sinner before God. You have not met his standards and that you need someone who has met those standards and who has died in your place, the Lord Jesus. And you simply call upon the name of the Lord. Lord, save me, a sinner. And he will receive all who come to him in this way. Okay, the second description of this kind of man is they've died to self. Firstly, they've come to Christ. And secondly, they've died to self. Just check that it's on. Isaiah describes us all when he says in Isaiah 53 and verse 6, all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. Isn't that right? We want to live our lives our way. We want to run our lives. And the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. But Christ says to any who would be his disciple in verse 34, whoever desires to come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. Those two phrases, deny yourself and take up your cross and follow him, to take up your cross and deny him, are very similar phrases. To take up your cross refers to death. The cross was an instrument of death. Jesus says we are to deny ourselves and we are to die to ourselves. Same thing. We're to cease going our own way as we have all done. We've been at the steering wheel of our lives. We're to move over and not stay at the driver's seat anymore. We have been the captain of our own ship. We're to resign our captaincy. We are to be selfless, dead. Now, this is really important because many claim to have come to Christ, to have said a prayer, to ask Jesus into their lives, but they are still at the steering wheel of their lives. They're still the captain of their own ship. They are not a disciple by Jesus' definition. Is that stunning to you? They are not a disciple by Jesus' definition. They are not kind of person that Charlotte Elliot was. They have not died to self. They have not let self-determination go. Verse 35 says in the second part, but whoever loses his life for my sake and the gospel's will save it. They have not given their life over to Christ, and they do not qualify for the third description either. The third description of this first kind of person is that they follow Christ. They have come to Christ, they have died to self, and they follow him. Some claim to have come to Christ, but they do not follow Christ either. Jesus says in verse 34, whoever desires to come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. The one who has truly come to Christ truly follows Christ. It's no more difficult than that. They have given up their life for the sake of the Lord Jesus and the gospel. They have died to self. The Lord Jesus has now taken the place at the steering wheel in their lives. The Lord Jesus Christ is now the captain of their ship. The parallel verse in Luke chapter 9 and verse 23 says, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. That word daily is observed by Luke to be part of what Jesus said. Yes, we come and follow Christ at salvation. Every one of us needs to be saved if we will ever see God. But if that salvation is for real, then following Christ, coming to him and following him is a daily experience to come follow. Charlotte Elliot's hymn has most commonly been used as an evangelistic hymn, a salvation hymn. But she wrote it when she had already been a Christian for 14 years, when she was 47 years old. Yes, it is a once-for-all decision to be Christ's, to be his. Yes, it is a once-for-all decision, but if it's for real, it will also be a daily reality. There will be a coming and a following daily. She wrote, just as I am, without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, and thou bidst me come to thee, O Lamb of God, I come, I come. Just as I am, and waiting not to rid my soul of one dark blot, to thee whose blood can cleanse each spot, O Lamb of God, I come, I come. Just as I am, though tossed about with many a conflict, many a doubt, fightings and fears within, without, O Lamb of God, I come, I come. Just as I am, thou wilt receive, will welcome, pardon, cleanse, relieve, because thy promise I believe, O Lamb of God, I come. Dear friends, Jesus says to each one of us tonight, come, follow. If you need to be saved tonight, you don't yet know Christ as Savior, he says, come unto me. Come and follow. If you're already saved on a daily basis, he says, come, come to me in the morning. Come, spend time with me and follow throughout the day. Dear friend, will you follow? The one who comes and follows. The one who comes and follows is the first kind of man. The second kind of man that Mark 8:34 to 38 mentions is the man who is ashamed of Christ. This kind of man is described in two ways. Firstly, this kind of man wants control of his own life. Verse 35 says, for whoever desires to save his life will lose it. He wants to save his life. He wants to stay in control of his life. He wants his way. But even if he got his way to the ends of the earth, like Alexander the Great, how would that help? For verse 36 says, for what will it profit if a man gains the whole world and loses his own soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul? If we grasp control of our lives, we lose in the end.
and we lose the most precious gift of all. We lose life itself. We experience the second death, and then rather than receive everlasting life. Verse 35 says, "For whoever desires to save his life will lose it." And verse 36, "For what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul?" If we grasp control, we will lose in the end. The second description of this second kind of man is he is indeed ashamed of Christ. Verse 38 says, "For whoever is ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him the Son of Man will be ashamed when he comes in the glory of his Father with the holy angels." The man who is really self-seeking will not want to own Christ in front of others. He may call himself a Christian, but ownership of Christ publicly, dear friends, is a test. And this kind of man will fail the test. Don't tell me you have come to him and follow him if you will not own him publicly, on the street, in the workplace, in the home. But the Lord's justice is entirely just. And if we are ashamed of him now, he will be ashamed of us then. That is a really sobering verse. It could not be clearer, could it? If you belong to Christ, don't be a coward. Revelation 21 and verse 8 says, "But the cowardly," look at the group that the coward is grouped with, "but the cowardly, unbelieving, abominable, murderers, sexually immoral, sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death." You don't want to be this kind of man, wanting control and ashamed of Christ. For what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul? To be this kind of man would be a foolish choice. Surely you want to come and follow. Come follow the Lord Jesus on a daily basis. Come follow him for salvation. You may need to do that tonight. Perhaps the Lord would grant us to have the same kind of impact that Charlotte Elliot had. After Charlotte died, over 1,000 letters were found in her keeping, all expressing the blessing that the hymn, "Just As I Am," had meant to people. Here's some of that information. A boy of 15 was hearing one of those open-air meetings. He was hearing the gospel preached. He heard the hymn sung. He came to Christ that day, and he served out his life as a missionary in Bengal. An immoral lady with a hardened conscience and intense prejudice because she had been brought up Roman Catholic was humbled by the hymn and came to Christ. One of Charlotte's biographers tells the story of how, being under the conviction of sin, she went out to a hill in the Welsh countryside, and she sat down there and she read right through the Gospel of John, but somehow she didn't find the peace that she longed for. At the end of that little Gospel of John was the words of that hymn, "Just As I Am." As she sang it, she writes, as she identified and came to Christ, just as she was, she writes, "The burden of sin was loosed and rolled down the hillside." A young lawyer was lying in his bed, sick and alone, and his home was just a few doors down from a church. The hymn came to him. He could hear it being sung from the church as he was struggling with his conscience. And he determined to follow Christ. A visitor to a Sunday school class heard the hymn sung with such feeling that then and there on the spot they found freedom in Christ, freed on the spot from many a conflict, many a doubt. But the most unusual story of all is this one. Charlotte's doctor was a frequent visitor to Charlotte's home, of course, because she was so often sick. One time, concerned for his patient, he gave her a little tract. But what he didn't know was that that little tract had been extracted from a Christian publication. A Christian publication that Charlotte Elliot edited. The doctor didn't know, but the tract that he gave Charlotte Elliot contained her own hymn, "Just As I Am." She wept with tears of grateful joy as she realized how God was using that hymn. The hymn "Just As I Am" is 249 in Great Hymns of the Faith. It is in a selection called "Invitation." This is an invitation to come and follow. Come follow. Other hymns in that section include some we've been singing tonight. "I Am Coming, Lord, Coming Now to Thee." "Room for Jesus, King of Glory, Hasten now His word obey. Swing the heart door widely open. Bid Him enter while you may. Jesus, I come out of my bondage, sorrow and night. Jesus, I come. Jesus, I come." Softly and tenderly, Jesus is calling, calling for you and for me. Only trust Him. Only trust Him, only trust Him now. He will save you, He will save you, He will save you now. These are hymns of invitation. I say to you tonight, to everyone that is here, children at the back, adults here in the main part of the congregation, come, follow Jesus. The Spirit of God says tonight, come, follow the Lord Jesus. The Word of God says tonight, come, follow Him. When you lay down your life, so that you can follow Jesus. Let's have a word of prayer. Dear Lord Jesus, we do ask that as we take some time to pray, that Your Spirit would speak to each one. And perhaps Your Spirit has already been speaking to some. Oh Lord, I pray that He would speak to many. I pray that some who need to be saved would put their trust in the Lord Jesus tonight. I pray, dear Heavenly Father, the rest of us would daily come and follow Him with all our hearts dying to ourselves. Oh, I pray, Lord Jesus, that You might glorify Yourself through us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.